Reading this morning is from Numbers chapter 11, starting at verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, and one of his young men answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses gat him into the camp, and he and the elders of Israel.
Do you know, when you were giving the notices out, I was licking my lips when you mentioned cream teas. Because I'm on a very strict diet now, so I couldn't have cream teas. But I did have fish and chips yesterday. Shall we just bow our heads in prayer for a moment? Our gracious, holy, heavenly Father, we now come into your presence to listen to your word. And pray, O Lord God, that you will send down your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may understand this word. And that, Lord, that I personally will be made a channel of blessing, and that each one here, both preacher and hearer alike, will receive a great and wonderful blessing from yourself. This we ask in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. And will you turn with me to the New Testament? And it's to Acts. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What does this mean? Now others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his precious word. Now, you may not know that today is Pentecost Sunday. And it was the celebration, we're to celebrate the time when the Holy Spirit came down on that first Pentecost. But what does the word Pentecost mean? In the Greek, it means 50th. And it was 50 days since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ when all these were gathered together in this upper room. And what were they doing in that upper room? They weren't just holding a conversation or having a meal or something like that. They were praying. But you know, early in the 1900s, in the village of Bulford that I've come from on Salisbury Plain, in Bulford Chapel, the folk there were praying and the place was shaken and the Holy Spirit descended upon the people in the chapel and on the people in the village, and many were saved. Many fell to their knees in the streets and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And so the Holy Spirit had great power in that village of Bulford. But not only there, also in Northern Ireland and in Wales, there were great visitations of the Holy Spirit. It could happen here in Liss, could it not? If you prayed fervently here in this hall, the Holy Spirit could fall upon you and this place could be shaken. And the whole of the village of Liss and its satellite Liss Forest could be visited by the Holy Spirit, where people fell on their knees and gave their hearts to Christ. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Do you know, if we really believe that that could happen, then it would be up to us to really pray and have a mass prayer meeting in this place for 24 hours if necessary, even for a week. We're planning a week of prayer in Bulford, and I think we're going to receive some blessing because we're going to pray for that blessing. Now, I asked Stuart to read from Numbers. So if we go back to that reading in Numbers, we see a pouring out of God's Spirit upon these elders from the children of Israel. Numbers chapter 11, verse 25. The Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. And then we read the remarkable thing that two of them hadn't come to the tabernacle. They were still in the city, and yet they were filled with the Spirit. And they were prophesying in the city. And somebody came to Moses and said, "You've got to stop them doing it." And Moses said, "No. If God decided to fill them with the Spirit, then they must prophesy also." So there was no exception. Isn't that great? That's great and wonderful. And in Numbers 24, verse 2, we read this, that Balaam, he raised his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribe. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Balaam. Now Balaam had been sent by Balak to curse the children of Israel. And when he saw them dwelling peacefully and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, what did he do? He blessed the children of Israel because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So it's not just the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament days. It was poured out in the Old Testament days too, and it's absolutely amazing and wonderful. And so Balaam blessed the children of Israel. And poor old Balak, he said to him, "What have you done? I sent you to curse the children of Israel, and you blessed them three times." He was most upset. But isn't it fantastic? This is what the Spirit of God does. It causes people to do the opposite to what they were going to do in the first place. Judges 6, verse 34. the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him. And we read, if we continue, I'm only giving you these verses, you read them when you get home. And Gideon had all the different tribes give so many men to him. But God said, it's too many. And he ended up with 300 men to defeat the army that had come against them. But the Spirit of the Lord was upon the 300, and they defeated their enemies because the Spirit was upon them. 1 Samuel 16 verse 13, then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of all his brethren. Anointed him to be king over Israel. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. For some reason or other, my printer, good job I can remember the verse, because my printer stopped there and carried on somewhere else. So I don't know what happened quite there. I don't think the Spirit of the Lord was on the printer. But there we are, when you remember the verse. And so David was blessed by the Spirit of God. That is amazing, isn't it? But most amazing is here at Pentecost. There were 120 disciples in that upper room. 120 men of God. And what were they doing? They were praying. And you know, I do the notices for our chapel every week. And on the back of it, there's all the different people to pray for. And right at the top, I've got the words written in blue right across the top. The powerhouse of the chapel is prayer. Is prayer. And here they were in one place. And there was a sound from heaven. Wasn't an east wind or a west wind or a south wind or a north wind. This was a wind from the courts of heaven itself. And the Holy Spirit came down in cloven tongues of fire and set them on fire for the Lord. And they were able to speak in the languages of all the people gathered in Jerusalem. And there must have been 120 different nations represented in Jerusalem at a time, because each one of them could speak the language, not a strange heavenly language, but could speak the language of the people from all the countries that they came from. And they were amazed. Hang on a minute, we're all different people, and they're speaking our language. They're speaking our language. They're telling us things about God. And you know, then Peter got up, didn't he? And he preached a message. And I believe that this is one of the greatest sermons ever preached. Because 3,000 souls were saved at the end of it. And then another 5,000 at his next sermon. 8,000 souls gathered unto the Lord because the Holy Spirit came down and filled the hearts and souls of the men who were in that upper room. And I'm sure that those men would have been interpreting Peter's message to the people. Do you support London City Mission at all? Well, if you read their magazines and their prayer letters, you'll see they're reaching out to many, many different people from many, many different nations in the world. And they're trying to teach those people English because it makes it easier to speak to them. But some of the missionaries that are in London happen to be of different nationalities themselves. And they're able to reach out to people of different nationalities with the gospel of God's grace. But they need a special infilling of the Holy Spirit, don't they? So when we pray for people like the London City Missioners, like the evangelists in the Open Air Mission, or evangelists in any other organization, we need to pray that God would fill them with the Holy Spirit, because it's so important. I used to preach in Methodist chapels all around our area on Salisbury Plain. Most of them are now closed, which is a pity, really. But then all the preachers, including me, who was known as a preacher from another church, we were all gathered together by the senior Methodist minister to find out how we got our messages. And one old chap there, he said, I got a book of Charles Wesley's sermons, and I read one of them every Sunday. But surely some of Charles Wesley's sermons aren't really for today, are they? So another man said, I just looked at the scriptures, I write some it down, and then I give them what I think it means. Well, I was brought up here in brethren circles, and I was asked, what do you do? I said, I pray. Yeah, and what do you do next? I said, then I read the word. And what do you do next? I said, then I pray. Well, what do you pray for? I said, I pray that the Holy Spirit will show me what's in the word and will explain to me what's between the lines. You ever thought of that? That when you read the Word of God, you need to know what's between the lines. There's much more there than what you think. Oh, this superintendent minister said, yes, but that doesn't work. This is a superintendent minister of a Methodist church in Salisbury, the biggest church around, and he said, that doesn't work. Dear believer, tell me what does work, if that doesn't work. So I said, sometimes, I go to a church or a chapel, and sometimes the Holy Spirit says to me, right, you've studied that word, and you're going to give that message, but I don't want you to give that message, because there's somebody there who needs another message, and I've given you another one. And I preached on something entirely different. And a person has come up afterwards and said, how did you know that that's what I needed? And I have to explain to them that it was the Holy Spirit that led me to give that message. There are other preachers here, aren't there? People that minister. Do you find the same thing? That the Holy Spirit leads you to change sometimes? He does. Even in the women's fellowship sometimes, the message that you get might not be the one you thought you were going to get. Because there's somebody there with a need. Somebody there who needs something special. And the Holy Spirit is able to give you that for that particular person. Isn't that correct? I know I came here once and with a message all prepared, but I preached something different. And I know it blessed because people told me afterwards that they had been blessed. Now I make no apology for speaking about the Holy Spirit this morning, even though the members of my email Bible class have had a four-part study on the Holy Spirit. And I think you all gained something from it. And by the way, I've now got 13 on my email Bible study list. So if anyone else wants to get email Bible studies once a month, give me your email address and I'll send them to you. And yesterday I spent over an hour downloading all my own sermons from the LISP website. So, because people have asked me for them. So we're going to burn them onto CDs and hand them round. But yeah, it's absolutely wonderful that some things we do, and this is from personal experience, I sing solos, and the Lord has blessed me with a good voice. And I was asked if I would sing a lot of Sankey hymns for a man who was dying of cancer up in Farnham. And a dear brother who was with me, he said, he's a friend of mine, will you do this tape? So I said, yes, I'll do the tape. And we had a wonderful organist, Douglas, and he came in and he played the organ while I sang. And then in the middle of it, he gave an organ recital, and the pastor gave a word, and then I sang for the second half of the tape. Anyway, eventually the tape was given to this man, or sent to him, and he sent back, oh, I really enjoyed that. And the next thing I heard, somebody in Devon had got the tape. And then somebody in Yorkshire had got the tape. And I went, because I was a self-employed gardener then, and I went to a lady to do her garden, and when she invited me into the house for a cup of coffee and something to eat, she said, oh, do you mind if I put this tape on? It's got somebody singing hymns on it. And of course she put the tape on, and I said, but that's me. Is it really? She said, you know. And it had gone all over the place. I don't, goodness knows where it is now. But isn't it wonderful that the Lord blesses the work that you do without your knowledge? I don't know how many people have been blessed in here, but I do know something, that one lady said she wasn't going to come this morning, but her daughter said, oh, we've got to go because Wally's preaching. How wonderful is that? It's tremendous. It gives me great encouragement, I can tell you, to know that a very young lady wants to hear this old gentleman preaching the word of the Lord. It's tremendous. I preached here many times on this platform behind me, and as you know, I was baptized here in the baptistry in this hall all those years ago, way back in 1947. Don't try and work out how old I am, please. I was 14 then, so but this is how the Holy Spirit works, doesn't he? He guides us, he leads us, he enables us to minister his precious word, not just here from the platform, but also personally. You're able to speak to somebody, perhaps on the bus. Perhaps you don't go on a bus. I don't go on a bus now. Even though I got a free pass, I'd sooner drive a car, but there we are. And sometimes, you know, you could be stopped in a lay-by and somebody comes up and you can have a word with them. The tradesmen that come to our house have gone away with the John's Gospel. And you know, one day, this chap came in to fit the new washing machine in, or the rented washing machine in, and we gave him a John's Gospel. And we thought, the van's, he's finished the job and he's been gone ages, but the van's still outside the house. So I pulled the curtain back and I peeped, and he was sitting in his cab reading John's Gospel. So my wife and I sat down on the sofa and we prayed fervently that the Holy Spirit would lead him to John 3:16. And we pray that van driver will have come to know Christ as his Saviour. If you want to know where to get John's Gospels from, at 10p each, well, I'll give you the address of a factory in Belfast that prints them. And you can get as many as you like for 10p each. They're all in the authorised version, but that doesn't matter. I only read the authorised anyway. I was getting too old to change. But Pentecost. I've one or two more verses. And I'm going to have to turn to these, so there's an exercise for you. Luke chapter 2. Verse 21. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of a child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was the Spirit that told him that he would not depart from this scene until he had seen the consolation of Israel, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he see him, but he held him in his arms. And then he was able to depart from this scene because he had experienced that wonderful gift that God had given to this world, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, who was especially born so that he could die for you and I on the cross of Calvary. I'm not turning to it, but you read Acts 10 verse 44, and the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and his family and friends when Paul preached the gospel to them, and these Gentiles were blessed and saved. There's some wonderful, wonderful things. You go through all the references of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and I guarantee you'll be here next year still going through them. That's how wonderful the Word of God is. It's a library in itself, isn't it? How much longer have I got? I know when Dan's here, he just goes like that. But so have we learnt? What have we learnt this morning? We've learnt this, that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our congregation, all of us, need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to enable us to do remarkable, wonderful, life-saving things. Isn't that correct? Isn't that right? All of us need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to pray, do we not? We need to pray as a congregation of God's people. We need to get together and pray that God would set this place alight for himself. Like the two on the road to Emmaus, do you remember? Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us in the way? Has your heart ever burned with the gospel? Has your heart ever burned with the presence of the Holy Spirit? Burned and for you to reach out to others? Isn't that what we want? That's what we want in here in this, is our hearts to be on fire for the Lord. That's what we're praying for at Bulford, for another wonderful outpouring of God's Spirit upon our village. Oh, as our dear brother prayed this morning, we need to pray fervently that the Holy Spirit will fall upon England, and that England can once again be called a Christian country. Certainly isn't that now. Will you pray? Will you pray that the Spirit will come down? This place will be changed, I tell you, forever. And the mighty wind of God will sweep through this and its suburbs and bring men and women and boys and girls to know Christ as Saviour and Friend. Is there anybody here that doesn't know Christ? Anybody here that doesn't know the Christ of Calvary, the one that died for you upon the cross of Calvary? If you don't know him, then it's time you did. Because if Jesus comes now to take his church to be with himself, oh, wouldn't it be sad if you're left sitting in your seat and there's nobody else left? How lonely you will be. And you would have to say, they were right after all. They were right. And I'm left behind. How sad. Pray for the Lord of heaven to be in your heart today. Come to Christ. Ask him to forgive you your sins. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's all you have to pray. And he's willing to come in. He's willing to forgive you your sins. He's willing to enter into your life, and he will direct your life. Not only that, there's one other thing I'm going to touch on, is the fact that the Holy Spirit not only empowers us, but also he comforts us. Do you remember the Lord said in John 14, I will pray to the Father that he will send you another comforter. And doesn't he comfort? When we're undergoing illness, when we're undergoing bereavement, the Holy Spirit comforts us. And he's a wonderful comforter. But not only that, the Holy Spirit is an interpreter, and he interprets the word to us. The Holy Spirit is our helpmeet day by day. The Holy Spirit is the one who lifts us up from the mire of sin and places our feet on a rock and establishes our way. Doesn't he? Only a matter of just over a month ago, I was in hospital, and the doctor said that it looked as if I was going to meet my Lord a bit early. But my Lord said, no, I've got some work for you to do. You've got to go to Lewis and preach. I was in the New Forest last Sunday preaching, and I'm preaching at another church next Sunday. So the Lord is keeping me busy. He said, I don't want you yet. Isn't it wonderful? And do you know, I felt absolutely down. Really down. I was lying in bed in the hospital. And I was feeling really, really down. I'm not normally a miserable person. I'm usually quite happy. And I suddenly said to the Lord, Lord, give me back my happiness. And the nurse came in and she said, how are you this morning, misery? So I said, not misery anymore. The Lord's restored my happiness. Oh, the Lord, she said, and she sat on the bed. And she said, I've been going to a Church of England since I was a little girl. I was confirmed and I went to a Pentecostal church and was baptized, but returned to the Church of England because that's the church I knew. And I've been telling people about Jesus. And my mum said to me, don't bother about denominations. Tell them all about Jesus. We Christians, you know, we belong to a massive family. Billions of us in the world. But we know one Father, and He's our God. For we have been adopted by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? We've been adopted into the family of God. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And it's wonderful to meet together as brothers and sisters, isn't it? To really get to know one another. And to greet one another with a handshake or a hug, it doesn't matter. And say, hello, brother, hello, sister. It's wonderful, it really is. And here, the sister was a sister in the Lord. And she realized I was no longer miserable. But the Lord had given me my happiness back. And from that moment on, I started to get better. Praise the Lord for the wonderful way in which He led me. And enabled me to be here this morning. For all of you who prayed, thank you very much. Because prayer changes things. And I can praise the Lord that the folk in my chapel and my family prayed fervently. And the Lord answered their prayer. Praise be unto His name. No glory to me, but thanks to the doctors and the nurses. They were wonderful. Didn't think much of the food, but it was enough to keep me going. They do their best. Let's face it, the chef has to cook for 600 people for breakfast, lunch and tea. So he does his best, and I praise God for him and prayed for him. Witnessed to the other patients, met people I didn't even know, but told him about my Saviour, which was wonderful. And they listened. They listened and asked if I could pray for them. Of course I can pray for them. I pray for anyone. I don't mind who they are. Do you pray for anyone? You ought to, especially for our government at this time. It's going through a very difficult phase. And I'll tell you somebody else you ought to pray for and ask that he keeps his nose out of politics, and that's the Archbishop of Canterbury. Pray that he will preach the gospel and that he will pray for the government, not criticise it. Because that is what we're exhorted to do in the Bible, isn't it? Pray for those in authority over us. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We praise you, Lord, that each one of us, preacher and hearer, has learnt something more about your gracious love through the Holy Spirit and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray, Father, for those in authority over us. We pray for Mr. Cameron and Mr. Clegg and all the ministers of state. We pray, Lord, that they will realise they need to turn to you because your wisdom surpasses theirs in making decisions for this country. So we pray, Lord, that you will enable them to understand your word. Pray for Christians in Parliament to stand up and be counted for you, Lord. And we pray that they will witness, and we ask, Lord, your blessing. So, Father, we bring these things to you now. Pray that you will continue with us through the coming week and bless us in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.